Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare. Huh?
Sometimes, that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third week in our sequel-centric Halloween Spooktacular. Hashtag WHM Spooktacular 2014, for those of you keeping track on Twitter. This week, oh my God, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer from 1998, directed by Danny Cannon, who, as you may remember, listeners at home, directed the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd.
Hooray.
So, you know what kind of track record we're dealing with. So this is, of course, the sequel to 1997's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And I mean, what it's got to be the laziest title.
Oh, yeah.
In the history of cinema.
Well, I'll get this out of the way right now because there's no reason to talk about it because I don't think any of us have seen it. There's a third one.
Oh, no.
Whoa. What the? Okay, what is it called?
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt in this?
No.
So what is it, like Jennifer Love Hewitt Jr.?
It takes place in the state of Colorado.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. Why the fishermen going there?
Yeah, there's no fucking...
It's a landlocked state.
There's no, like, seafaring fishing industry, which is the whole point of that first movie.
There's no hook. I mean, I kind of just wish that they would do a bunch of, like, sequels to this movie. And it just gets, like, I recall what you did last summer.
I'm slowly forgetting what it was you exactly did last summer.
I vaguely remember you doing something last summer. Like, I just kind of wanted to go that way rather than I still, like, it's just so bad.
I still know that, wait, I have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, but so I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer. If you read the trivia on it, apparently J. Love was supposed to film a cameo and it didn't happen. But I guess also, though, the original script was supposed to be her, Freddie Prinze, and Moesha herself, Brandy. And Brandy is going to be back for this third movie. And then
they got none of them.
Yeah, none of them. There's literally nothing.
I mean, was
nothing.
She already doing Ghost Whispering? Or whatever the fuck that show is.
Oh, the Ghost Whisperer? Was that her?
That's Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, I'm thinking of Medium with Patty Arquette.
Oh, I'm thinking of The Client List.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are ghosts. Ghosts of married men.
No, those are skeletons in closets. You're confusing ghosts with skeletons.
Oh.
I think it kind of came out, I mean, not like recently, but recently enough. Let me see if I can get a year on it. But yeah, it's important for 2006, by the way. So, you know, 1998, the one we're talking about comes out. And then, 2006, because everyone was just clamoring for it. We had to wait almost a decade before
it came out. They rushed this shit out.
Like, oh, yeah.
Fucking 1 year to get. I mean, and it shows, don't get me wrong, it shows quite evidently. But, like, I am just shocked that, like, you're like, this is not so... I rewatched the first movie in anticipation of this, and...
I think you should say in preparation, because no one's anticipating, like, oh, I'm anticipating talking about I Still Know What You Did Last
Summer. Well, I mean, I'll pull Steve Sadak here. We don't usually hate movies. I hate this movie. I really hate this movie. This movie bores me to tears. It bored me to tears in the theater when I saw it.
Oh, shit, you saw this in theaters?
I saw this right in the theater.
Damn, dude.
And that was a waste of time.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, right. Correct. It's so bad.
What did you think of the first one?
The first one I don't mind that much. It's still stupid and it's still bad.
I agree with you there. I don't mind it nearly as much as this movie.
It's totally fine. Like that first movie, it's totally fine. It's not good.
I watched them both back to back, so they bled into each other a little bit.
Uh-oh. Didn't you do this with something else like a while back?
I fuck up.
So we'll fucking do to you.
At the end, I'm pretty sure at the end of the first movie, they got a teaser for I Still Know.
Yeah.
But
and at the
that
end of-
scene doesn't take place in I Still
Know. No.
They never connect that again because she's taking a shower in college.
Yeah.
And she gets a phone call in the shower like you do. And then she gets to run out or whatever. She comes back and it's all steamy in the shower room. And there's someone had written, I Still Know.
Yeah.
And then the fisherman slasher breaks through the glass and tries to grab her.
What is he, a fucking Freddy Krueger?
But it was like a CGI in the credits. It was like the blackness of his slicker consumes the screen. But then that never actually, because that's him attacking them at college, which
doesn't
does not
happen.
Take place in the city.
Yeah, there's no attacking on the college campus. College is a safe zone.
Yeah.
In this movie.
They were thinking about it, but then an administrator sat them down and said, you know.
Well, I'll tell you
well,
what.
Well, no, you know what they were.
Stay here?
No. They were like, oh, yeah. So now this second I Know movie is going to be set in college, and it's 1998, and someone fucking rat-a-tat-tatted on the screenwriter's door and was like, a movie came out literally last year called Scream 2, and it takes place on a fucking college campus. Change it up a little.
That's it. We're going to the Bahamas.
It's over.
I love that. It's like, we can't use a college campus. What do college kids do?
Well, we can't do that because it's summer.
Yep. For some reason,
I guess
during summer school.
Yeah, I guess college and summer, yeah.
And by the way, I will say this.
It doesn't work.
Scream 2 versus I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Scream 2 comes out much more on top.
Hands down.
By a mile.
Scream 2 is not like a good movie per se. It has its moments. This movie has no moments.
No.
This movie has -4 moments.
It does. And the big thing is it misses the cast. Like, you get rid of your two best actors that were in that first one. You
Sarah
get rid of
Michelle.
And Philippe.
Oh, right. Ryan Philippe.
They got killed off.
They get killed off. And even, like, I would even fucking say Johnny Galecki is better than...
Who's Johnny Galecki in that first movie?
In the first movie, he plays a character named Max that's, like, working at the docks before Freddie Prinze Jr. graduates to work at the docks.
Oh,
he's
He's a guy that's, like, pined for
Jennifer Love Hewitt. He's really into Jay Hugh.
Oh, yes.
But she has to go out with that pretty boy, rich kid.
But he also has the best, and, like, they do this death 3 times in this movie. The hook through the chin.
A fish hook through a chin, much like a fish.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Wow, that's
going hooking.
Yep.
Dude, how about that for a tagline, right? It's like, this summer, he's going hooking.
Jonathan Galecki's going hooking.
It's just it's the fisherman, and he's like lifting his coat a little bit. He's showing a little leg on the side of the road.
It's kind of just the poster for Frankenhooker, but he's wearing a slicker.
Yeah, we caught that mad killer. We got him soliciting. He was soliciting John.
I'm going to say the number, and you're not going to believe me. 13 counts. 13 counts soliciting one night.
That guy fucked 13 dudes?
13 dudes,
one
Mike.
One night.
13 dudes, and then, yet he only kills like 4 people in that first movie. So we start out this movie with audio from the first movie.
Yeah.
Including a line that's like kind of repeated almost verbatim in this movie where she's like, I'm right here. Come and get me.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? She fucking says the same thing in this movie.
And she does the same exact like physical motion. And she like spins around with her arms out.
Dude, it's like Julie Andrews in the fucking Sound of Music, dude. The Hills Are Alive.
The Kills Are Alive.
The Kills Are Alive. Chris Cabot, what a wordsmith.
I can't believe they repeated that.
Why would you repeat? It's not like it's a catchphrase. It's not like, here's Freddy or, anything like that.
And also, there's not a lot of places to hide on the, when we get to the Bahamas, I mean, it's just one hotel. And like, you're talking about an entire town in goddamn, in the first one.
Right.
But that's what's amazing about this is they're like, we're going to the Bahamas, and it's this one tiny island in the Bahamas that's probably totally fake. Yeah. And the only thing on this island is this one resort. So it's not like an island where other people live. There's businesses outside of this resort.
Or there's a police.
We're
a police.
Sorry, I really got to address exactly how this movie opens. We open on a shot of Jesus.
No, Mary. And then it pans down to Jesus.
Wounded from all the Roman torture.
Yeah.
It is the mopiest looking Virgin Mary statue you've ever. It's like, oh, my poor Jesus. Like, it looks ridiculous. Like, I wrote mopiest Virgin Mary.
It's droopy dog as Mary.
Oh, boy, my poor Jesus got crucified. You're just like, get a better looking fucking statue. So we're in this church.
Oh, my God. Are we ever?
It's clearly a fake, like, dream. Oh, yeah. It's a dream sequence right away.
She goes into confession.
Right.
And she's just like, I want to confess that I killed a man. And the priest is like, oh, my God.
That sounds sexy.
And then it turns out it's the man she killed.
The fisherman. Yes. It's Ben Willis. Right.
Ben Willis.
What exactly do we call this fella? Like, because there's a Jason, a Freddy. I'm not going to call him Ben Willis every time.
I just call him the fisherman.
Well,
the
hook fisherman? Hand? I think people call him Hook Hand.
Hook Hand?
Or? Hook Hand is the legend that they talk about at the beginning of the first one. Remember when they're on the beach?
Oh, so that's what Ben Willis has taken
as
inspiration
taken,
from?
I just call him the fisherman.
Can we call him the hooker?
We can call him the hooker.
I'm fine with
for
that.
For comedic purposes, sure, we dub him
and
the
that's
hooker.
That's nothing against sex workers at all. I know we've already joked about that a little bit, but I mean, there's been many fine people named Hooker. For instance, take
John Lee Hooker?
Well, I was going to say TJ.
Oh, TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker. I mean, he's
my idol.
Well, the other side to that statement, by the way, is that we have no problem with sex workers. Yes. I mean, it should not be against the law.
Well, no. You know, do what you got to do.
Exactly. Precisely. Everybody's got to make some fucking
bread. I'm fine with calling him. So she's confessing to the hooker, and the hooker is like, yeah, I know that you killed me. And then it punches the thing, and she wakes up in the middle of this class, and this professor is hooting and hollering.
Oh, this guy does not have time for it.
Oh, my God.
It's just like, oh, I didn't know you were that excited about the history of whatever. And you're just
this
like,
guy's blown a gasket.
Well, it's
he's actually he says it like that, but you could tell he's flipping mad.
He's pissed. Oh, he's pissed, but like he's got to keep his composure because he's a political science professor.
But I it made me think immediately to the Colonel Sanders professor in Waterboy. Like, you don't know nothing. Yeah. Like, and like he's just like joking. Like, she's obviously gone through trauma. She's like waking up in the middle of a nightmare in the middle of your class.
Yeah,
man.
This guy doesn't give a flying fuck. Also, you're totally just stealing this from the first Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm, Heather Langenkamp wakes up in the classroom screaming. But also, poor Jennifer Love, right? Because, like, you can't come back to that class. If I did something like that, I would never. I'd drop the class.
Really?
Why is she there?
It's humiliating. I don't know why she's there in the first place.
It seems like this must be the end of the semester. So
they're all in summer school. They're about to celebrate the July 4th weekend. Why this had to happen?
Why are they leaving school to go on a vacation? I think you should put your studies first.
It's a year out. Like, here's my issue: is that like it's a year out from two of your best friends getting butchered.
Yep.
You yourself almost getting butchered several times.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take a fucking year off? Maybe you want to go to the hospital,
or maybe you go to a college far away enough that you're not going to run into fucking Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah,
on
far.
Campus.
Yeah, you're totally right. Far enough that your shitty high school boyfriend can't fucking drive there
can't
in a day.
Find you.
Just fucking. Find you.
I wonder what Julie's doing. I've been packing fish all day.
I can't wait to drive and see Julie.
John Hawks has just given me all the ice I will ever need.
Oh, man. John Hawks. Pre-fame John Hawks.
For no reason. Just like, just to get killed.
For no reason. To start his career.
I mean, that's true. Everybody's got to earn a living.
I think he'd been in stuff before this, though.
A paycheck.
But I'm saying this is pre me and you and everyone we know.
Sure.
That's the movie
that's
made
when
John Hawks John
to do
Hawks.
Whatever he wants, yeah.
And then, you know, Winner's Bone was the Oscar nomination.
He's popular with hundreds of people.
Hundreds upon hundreds.
So she goes home, and before she can get into her apartment building, she's harassed by Freddie Prinze Jr. And he's like, well, come on, you gotta come home for 4th of July. There's gonna be a clam bake. And she's like, I'm not comfortable being in my hometown. Remember the murders nine months ago? Well,
what'd you talk about?
A year ago today.
Oh, is that? Oh, he comes on the anniversary?
The anniversary of the death of her best friend. Last time I saw her, she was being eaten by crabs in a tub of ice.
Oh, that's right.
What happened to her? She got eaten by crabs.
Devoured by crabs.
You know, this is why you don't tangle with a hooker, is you might get eaten by crabs.
He will put you with the crabs.
Yeah.
Any hooker will put you right with the crabs.
We'll put you with the crabs.
I just love this, though, because he doesn't get it. He's like, but the clam steam. And she's like, I'm not going back to Murderville for a clam steam.
Never mind that.
No, that was on point. That's exactly what he sounds like.
He's making the lager. Like, yeah, I mean, it's like shit like that. It's like, so come stupid. Home.
And she's just like, it's nothing against you. It's nothing against the people. I don't want to be in that town. You know what? Find me another July 4th clam steam, and we'll go to that one. Maybe around here somewhere. And he's like, but the clams! You're just like,
shut the fuck up, man.
You could not. And then he has the audacity to get pissed off at her and be like, oh, it's just because you don't want to see me. Oh, I get it. And like, he walks right through like a street football game, which is hilarious. God.
Listen, Julie James is too good for you, pal.
Yeah, you're first of all.
You're a Southport townie. And you should take a hike, man. This girl's in college. She's going places. Well, you know where you're going? The fucking clam bake. That's it.
You're going out to sea, my friend.
Yeah.
And he's not even going. As John Hawks tells us, the fucking, you know, there hasn't been any fish. There haven't been fish in days.
Yeah, fish ain't biting. He's a bad fisherman. He's a bad boyfriend.
He's bad at everything. He badly covers up a murder in the first movie.
I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, man, haven't you learned to be a little bit sensitive about this material, man? Like,
nope. The clam steam. Nope.
The clam steam. Really? Are they that good? Like, I understand Jennifer is bringing her, you know, world famous butter dip.
No, but that's the thing.
It might actually be that good. It might be really good.
No, it's not,
it can't
man.
Be that good.
It might be. I mean, it might be good.
To relive a trauma of this size, it's not that good.
So one of my favorite parts of this movie, she tells him off. He gets pissed off and leaves. She goes up to her apartment, draws the shades, grabs a bottle of soda, a bag of potato chips, and then just pulls the covers over her head. Not eating these two things, just taking a nap with snack.
She's making a snack fort.
Yeah. She might be eating them under the blanket. We don't know.
But talking of flashlight and a Nancy Drew mystery under there.
It's just like, look out for ruffles. It's just like, as bright as day, some ruffles wavy potato chips.
Oh, those were all the rage in 98.
Yeah.
I remember it very well. I had a few snack forts in my day.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, we all did. I mean, I was a rolled gold person myself.
Oh, yeah. You got to love those pretzels. Oh,
wow.
So she has a best friend in Brandy. I don't know her name in the movie. It's just Brandy.
It's just Brandy.
Brandy. Norwood.
Oh, it's Carla, I think.
Carla, yes, yeah, it is. Right. It is Carla.
Well, let's just say Brandy.
And I mean, she's the most obnoxious character.
Dude, no, she's not more obnoxious than fucking Mekhi Phifer in this
movie.
Well,
they're a pair, and they, like, I think they do the work for them. Like, they're a good pair because they do just as much obnoxious shit on their own together.
You know what? Oh, yeah.
The whole cast of the movie is obnoxious in their own ways. Let's not, you know.
You know who's not obnoxious?
Be fair to everyone.
The dude who plays the hooker.
Yeah.
Right.
That guy gets in this movie. He does his job. He does it well.
And Reanimator does a pretty good snotty manager.
Right. Jeffrey Combs playing the snooty concierge.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, that dude's just a great actor.
He was great in The Frighteners, man. That's
great.
How I know him.
Oh, yeah.
As Special Agent Milton Dammers.
Oh, wow. Good memory.
I think that's his name.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, it was great.
That and From Beyond.
Oh, lovely. From Beyond's great. He's wonderful. The best part of the more or less lackluster Would You Rather that came out a couple years ago. It's like, it's fine, but he's definitely the best part of that movie. It's him, and then who else is good in that movie is the guy who's now playing the Penguin on Gotham.
Oh, okay.
Like, he plays his, like, shitty, sniveling son who's, like, really twisted.
That makes sense. They look similar.
Yeah.
You know who else is not obnoxious is Mr. Boone Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mark Boone Jr., because he's in it for 8 seconds.
Yeah. 8 seconds. And speaking of Memento, I mean,
he's playing kind of the same character. I mean, it's always Mark Boone Jr. I mean, he's always Mark Boone Jr. only plays Mark Boone Jr.
A sleazy guy doing this or a sleazy guy doing that?
And it's just great, though. Oh,
he's great.
It's top notch.
I love him in Batman Begins. He's like, wait, kids don't like falafel? Oh, God. It's so scuzzy. It's awesome. So,
the reason Brandy and Mackay are both obnoxious shits in this movie is because there's this... So, J-Lo Hugh is not really into Freddy right now. She's kind of pissed at him.
Well, you know, Brandy's introduction is something worth mentioning. It's because...
Oh, God,
Jennifer
yeah.
Love Hewitt, Julie, is wandering her house because she thinks that she's going to be murdered because there's all this clattering in the night.
So much of this movie is her searching rooms and hallways because she hears noises.
Yep. So she gets into her closet holding a knife, like a butcher knife. And it's Brandy trying to borrow a dress to go to the club.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to get murdered over clothes. How about not breaking into your friend's apartment and stealing
shit? Yeah,
who the
fuck are you? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Brandy thought she went to the clam bake.
I didn't think you'd need the dress. I thought you were eating clams this weekend. Who eats clams in a dress?
I do, Carla.
You've obviously never been to the Southport clam bake. It's quite fancy.
You know, it's. I'm just saying it might be really good.
And you were going to take my little umbrella, too? Yeah, I need to twirl that at the clam bake.
It's part clam bake, part cotillion, okay? Just get ready.
Know what's happening here.
So, next morning, Brandy receives a phone call from a radio station, and it's like, you could win a trip to the Bahamas if you answer the following trivia question. And I guess that's the thing, like, we're right on the cusp of using Google all the time, so since we're not, you could still do these kinds of radio contests, I guess.
Right.
And it's just like, for a free fucking weekend for four in the Bahamas, what is the capital of Brazil? And Jennifer Love Hewitt pulls out a bag of coffee and is like, Rio de Janeiro.
And it supposedly that is true, and they win the trip.
They win the fucking trip.
But it is not true.
Well, it's not true. And that's what, like... Anybody who knows anything, you're just like,
yeah, if you,
Brasilia is the capital of Brazil.
Yeah, right. That was my first thought, is because, like, I mean, when I saw this, I was a dumb idiot, and, like, I'm a
was.
I'm getting better at being an idiot now.
Wait, when you saw this last night?
Yes.
That's when you were an idiot?
Yeah. Within the last 24 hours.
He's getting smarter.
I've just, you know, made it over that hill.
Okay, well, I think the further you get away from watching this movie, your brain cells do start to, like, grow back a little, maybe.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead. Like, the red stuff just starts coming up in your brain.
So, yeah. So they're like, oh, we just won this trip for four. And she's like, great. I could bring Freddie Prinze Jr. And
but
she's...
You know what? Really, they can blame this entire trip on Rio.
Oh,
blame it on Rio.
Bravo. For maximum enjoyment with that joke, see our episode on Blame It on Rio.
That is something you can blame on Rio.
And she's like, Brandy's like, how about no? Because he sucks. Why don't you bring your new boyfriend, Will? And it's just like, again, shoving this guy down her throat.
Well, the fucking best part is Freddie Prinze is like, she calls up Freddie Prinze and she's like, well, you know, I got this trip to the Bahamas. Why don't you come? We'll lay on the sun and I'll fuck you the whole time.
Yep, pretty much.
That's exactly what she says to him.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, she goes, it's something like...
She does that
she's
one.
Like, we could do this, we could do that, and then maybe a little...
Which, by the way, and, you know, I understand Freddie Prinze has to have stuff explained to him.
Really spelled out for him.
Like, that means she wants to fuck you the whole time. And his whole thing is like, well, you said no to the clam bake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you don't
no
want to go to the clam bake.
There's no difference.
This fucking clam bake.
You don't want to go to the clam bake, but you're going to go to the Bahamas.
For free.
You don't want to taste the clams that I picked out of the ocean special, because it's my job to pick them out.
I love it. I fucking love this. He's like, you can't go to this clam bake, but you're going to take this delicious free tropical weekend. And he's so insulted. And you're like, dude, get the net. She doesn't want to go to this town. Like, what is the problem?
Horrorville, USA. She doesn't want to go back to Horrorville. You call it Southport because it's where you fucking work, but it's Horrorville, USA.
Come on, Julie. After the clam bake, we could go. I don't know, neck in the abandoned amusement park.
could make out on Ryan Phillippe's fucking grave for all I care.
Yeah, exactly. After the clam bake, when we're all filled to our belly brims with clams, we can go to the cemetery and visit our dead friends. Doesn't that sound like a great 4th of July? How about this, Julie? We'll bring some little Roman candles with us to the cemetery, and the four of us... That's right. Me, you, and two tombstones can light off fireworks on the 4th of July.
And don't forget the spirit of mopey Virgin Mary.
Oh, poor Jesus. Couldn't come to the clam bake.
So, I mean, so they get this fucking thing, and apparently, like, you don't have to sign any contracts. You don't have to fucking, you know, talk to the hotel first.
No, nothing.
You don't have to do anything. You just have to pick up these tickets. And you go there.
Well, you know what? This is one of those movie things we call logistics out the window. Because it's like, one second we're fighting in a college apartment. The next second, we're just in the Bahamas. Like, that's...
No, hey, hold on a second. I'm going to put you on the line with my producer.
Nope.
They're going to get you to fucking do this thing and the ad thing.
Well, we got a little Freddie Prinze Jr. storyline happening here. Because he now he talks to John Hawks. And he decides he's going to try to go. Because John Hawks is not a moron.
Yeah, John Hawks is like, so you know you're an idiot, right? You know what you just passed up?
He's like, I only listened to your side of the telephone conversation, and I know that you just passed down a weekend full of Bahama sex.
Yeah, I only heard half of this, but it was more than enough to know that you're an idiot. But then what I don't get is he's like, all right, so I'll drive to the college with you. So, like, him and John Hawks are on the road.
But he also shows him an engagement ring. He's going to he was going to propose at the clam bake, I guess? What the fuck? She doesn't even want to... She doesn't want to really be with you. It's sort of like a weird sympathy between victims of murder something.
Exactly. And this is what we were talking about last week with Jason Goes to Hell. The idea of, like, if the girl stays with Earthworm Jim,
right.
Like... Every day is a reminder of the fucking horrendous tragedy you went through. Like, and this is the same thing. Like, if Julie stays with Freddie Prinze's character, like, it's just waking up every day like, remember that time we fought a fucking murderer? And our friends and family were butchered? That's great. You know what? The kids better get up. They're going to be late for school. Maybe I'll get 10 minutes today when I'm not reminded of the heinous murders.
Trust me, Freddie. She's just waiting for a better candidate. Like, this is just, isn't that, she's fine for this now, but if this Will guy had any fucking character,
oh yeah,
she would be out of here already.
Yep.
But as it stands, he is whiter than a loose leaf sheet of paper.
Yeah, and so just, default is just fine for now.
But I love that. It's like, we're on horrible terms. I never see her. I know what'll fix this.
Oh,
let's get married.
We're like 20 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's
also
the other thing.
Also that, by the way.
We can't even drink legally, but hey, fuck it. Let's get married.
And the last three conversations we've had have been horrendous arguments.
Yeah. Two of them, we were in person and I stormed off in front of you.
But no, rest of my life.
So we're in the Bahamas. Hey, isn't that great, everybody? We're in the Bahamas.
Finally, I guess. They tagged this fucking Will along with them.
I mean, that's the most awkward part. Like, right before they leave, it's like they're sitting on the curb, like her and Brandy.
Because Freddie Prinze Jr. didn't make the flight because he was going to surprise her and get there. But
yes. John Hawks gets hooked.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that. A horrendous murder happened.
After John Hawks' rendition of Here I Go Again on My Own. By
Which
White
is,
State,
I mean, tear-inducing, honestly. Yep.
Honestly, the best part of this film.
Yep, it totally is. Just a couple of buds, the open road, the night sky above them, singing Whitesnake, and then John Hawks gets murdered.
Right, because they spot a body on the road. And it's sound like, familiar?
It's happening again!
The hookening!
The hookening!
So it turns out to be a mannequin. John Hawks gets, again, with this goddamn, it's a mouth hook, isn't it?
It's through the chin. Yeah. The bottom of the chin, up into the mouth, and dragged out of the car.
Because he's the fisherman.
Yeah, he's hooked it like ice
I just
also.
Watched both of these movies, and I just put it together.
Well, you just put it together that's why he has a hook? He's a fisherman?
No, I knew that. Oh. But the mouth thing, I just thought like, he's just being
efficient.
Creative.
He's just being efficient his killings.
Oh.
But then I'm like, like a fish. I just thought to myself. Right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, right they're now. Fish to him. He's catching teenagers.
Well, welcome to the party, pal. So yeah, so Freddie Prinze doesn't make it because of this hilarious thing. He winds up like falling down a huge hill,
yeah,
and you know, escaping, but you know, he doesn't make the flight. He doesn't surprise her. Mekhi Phifer pulls up and he's like, I got a surprise. It's this bland piece of shit. He's coming with us. Which, here's the thing. And I have to bring it up now, even though it like it involves the end of the movie, but fine.
Right.
There's two killers in this movie. It's the original dude who survived because they never found his body, and his son, which is Will.
Yes.
Whoop-de-fuck.
Who cares?
But if for some reason the dad had screwed up... Oh, and by the way, the whole thing is, this whole Bahamas thing is fake. Will and the dad organized the entire thing. The dad used to work at the resort. Blah, blah, blah.
Will was the radio guy.
They have the money for this.
Yeah, this, like, this scheme.
This is insane. This
it's
is
like
insane.
All of... Like the all the family money, like they like sold the house or something. Like how were they? They it's sold like, the boat.
Well, like, it's like how Doc Brown funded the DeLorean. Like he sold off his estate and all his land, sold all his possessions, so he get the money to fund the time machine. I think this guy is like, we'll sell the house, sell all the cars to fund this serial killer,
and then I'll be destitute and I won't have anywhere to go.
So,
and I'll
yeah,
just...
so I could murder some people in the Bahamas for a few days.
Well, that's why Jason's way more practical. You know what? How much a machete costs? Total tops $50.
Yeah,
and odds are he's stealing one anyway.
No, I mean he's picking up what he's got. I mean he's Resident Eviling, like he's picking up the new toys every time.
He's Resident Eviling.
Yeah.
So does that mean
he's up new?
He has
and he's fighting a zombie apocalypse as well.
Jason wouldn't be able to do all those puzzles.
No, probably wouldn't be able to figure out.
Yeah, he's not getting past
where
the puzzles.
The right.
Once Jason gets to the library, the game is over.
Yeah, he won't know which Updike volume the fucking key is in, or whatever the fuck goes on in that game.
But my whole point is, so that's this elaborate, very expensive scheme, right?
Yes.
What happens if the dad failed, doesn't, you know, fuck with Freddie Prinze? What if Freddie Prinze and John Hawks were like, oh, there's a body, and Freddie Prinze was like, you know what? I kind of got into some trouble last year. Better just keep going.
Yeah.
They drive by this whole scheme, totally unscathed. He gets there on time. Then Will, who's scheming to come on the vacation, is like, ah, here he is, huh? Well, there's not five tickets to the Bahamas. There's only four, and you're the boyfriend. Well, I guess the whole plan's fucked.
Well, I mean, I imagine they would just then make up like, oh, my God, there was two winners. Like, they did one in the beginning of the day and one at the end of the day.
Maybe.
I mean, it's such horseshit to begin with. I mean, the fisherman is both supposedly immortal.
Yeah.
And clearly an immortal.
Yeah.
Like, it's so ridiculous that they never make up the stakes of this. They never, like, really set you as to who the fucking hooker is.
No, it's all just, well, you hit me with your car.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, sure. You have every right to be upset about this.
Take
of course.
The court. That's fine. You don't fucking set out on, like, crippling your entire family financially.
Exactly.
To get some blood on your hands. Like, really, man? This is a lot.
So we go to the Bahamas. We're there. And it turns out it's like the day before hurricane season starts. Like, oh.
Oh, this is why they were giving it away.
Yeah.
By the
exactly.
way,
yes?
This is just off the internet ticker. Will, who turns out to be one of the killers.
Yeah.
His last name is Benson, as in Ben's son.
Oh yeah, which they totally he explains in the movie.
That is so fucking stupid.
And there
isn't that just the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
It might just be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's really stupid because when he explains it, like he's like, Ben's son. Get it? Ben's son. Like, I get it, man.
And she's just like, can we get back to you trying to kill me?
I got it the first time.
I don't need your fucking Sesame Street level explanation.
Thanks, Will. Shit.
So we're introduced to our little cast of characters. It's conveniently the off season, which also means like we can have this huge resort to ourselves and only have like less than 10 characters in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's
and not see one of them really get murdered, actually.
No, a lot of off screen killing in this movie. You got like a housekeeper who's kind of unnamed. You got Jennifer Esposito, who's the bartender.
Yeah.
You got the aforementioned Jeffrey Combs, who's the concierge. You got Jack Black as a groundskeeper slash like activities guy.
Activities, eh?
I mean,
that's what we're calling it.
He just loves smoking weed and hanging out
and selling it too.
Oh, and, yeah, he does. And, he does grow he, on the property.
He also has dreadlocks. Okay.
He also has dreadlocks. He also has a fucking Hawaiian shirt. Also has a fucking like the really cheap Ray-Bans that like go around your head and you have to have like the shiny yellow green outside.
Yeah, it's like the lenses in the sunglasses that Brett the Hitman Hart always had.
Yeah.
I hate those fucking sunglasses. Yeah, so he's just looking like a big idiot in this movie, although he's kind of the most entertaining part of the movie because he's kind of just always like popping up at inopportune times, like when Brandy and Mekhi Phifer are trying to have sex in a hot tub, and he's like, hey guys, what's going on? Actually, I said the snack fort was my favorite part of this movie. My favorite part of this movie is when he comes up from underwater in the pool with a spliff in his mouth and lights it on a candle and starts smoking it.
I give him and Jeffrey Combs the most credit in this movie because they are the two that get the joke.
Yeah.
And they're having a lot of fun and they're doing exactly what this movie should be. And then you go towards, you know, the main characters, and they're all fucking, you know, stone-faced boredom houses.
You also have Bill boredom Cobbs houses in this movie. As like, I guess
Estes,
he's another... Estes, like the caretaker.
And the voodoo man.
Yeah, of course he's practicing voodoo, which is like, well, Jesus.
Well, just checking off cliches here.
Yeah. Sure. So, yeah, Jack Black tries to sell him weed. Doesn't work out. They check in. Jeffrey Combs is very rude to them. It's kind of funny. He has like nothing but distaste for these people, which is pretty great. Although, here's something I was noticing about this character, and let me see if you guys notice this too. Like, yeah, he's a rude guy, but he's really rude to Brandy and Mekhi Phifer.
Oh yeah, he's
not as rude to Jennifer Love Hewitt and Will Benson.
What are you getting at?
I'm getting at Eric that he's ruder to the African American clientele than he is to the fucking white
snippier
clientele. Little snippier, little like, I don't want you here.
Or sometimes just outright, like, your comment does not warrant me answering it.
Yeah, he's like incredibly rude to Mekhi Phifer. He's basically like, well, you're a fucking moron. Welcome to this hotel. Yeah. Oh, right this way, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Please eat shit on your way out. Like, it's just like, man, it's so bad.
You know, if they were like, you know, maybe if they were paying customers, not contest winners, because he knows about the contest, which is weird to begin with.
Yeah, he's like, oh right, the contest.
And again, you have to like call the hotel. There has to be a whole fucking like thing,
right,
where
you're like
wait, I have this marketing thing that I have to do for my fucking radio station. You don't just call up and be like, hey, four people are going to show up, they want a contest.
When four kids show up to your front desk, just give them two rooms.
No, yeah, they'll be fine, don't worry about it. It's here's okay. Your money,
I'll send a check signed Will Ben's son. And I run the radio.
Will Ben's, oh shit. Actually the B and the E are silent. It's Ninson.
How many movies have the entire plot hinging on a prank phone call?
Scream. Jerky Boys and this.
Yeah, the Jerky
Scream,
Boys.
Scream, the Jerky Boys movie and this.
I think that's about it.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna, I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, there you go, listeners.
The
at
trifecta.
Home.
That's the hat trick.
That's your marathon. You could do a marathon of that.
Maybe that's a series I'll program. Prank phone call catalysts.
Two
perfect.
Two pretty good horror movies and Jerky Boys.
So they get like the honeymoon suites, and again the fucking awkwardness because Mekhi Phifer is just like, all right, let's get down to some fucking. And then Jennifer Love Hewitt's like, but Brandy, I don't know this guy. And then Will's just like, oh, well, geez, Julia, of course I'll sleep on the sofa. And he's just being like, I mean, I think the whole thing is, looking back on it, like he's acting this way so he can act as less like a serial killer as possible.
Well, I just think it was like, it's weird because you can't really tell how far this guy's willing to take it. Because, like, it's not like he's putting on the charm, because as we'll find out when we find out he's the killer, he can clearly be a little bit more, a bit of a bad boy. So, like, he seems to be, like, shooting just like, she's going to like me, but she's not going to want to fuck me. Like,
But and this is what's
straight down the middle.
But this is what's stupid though, is like, because he's kind of laying on some romantic things.
Yeah.
Like there's the big scene where she's tensely opening the envelope.
Yeah.
And it creepily just says surprise exclamation mark. And she turns around and he's there with like a bottle of champagne and two glasses and she screams in his face. But like, that's something that had she not been scared, like one thing may have led to another and they may have slept together. The reason Scream is a way better movie than this is because in Scream, the villain who knows he's the villain
just
the whole time,
with
Skeet Ulrich, has sex with Neve Campbell, which then when it's revealed that he's the killer, it's even worse because she's like, my God, I fucked a serial killer.
In the mental hospital for the rest of your life, I fucked the guy
that killed my mom.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, and like that has some weight to it.
I just got it. I just finally put Scream together.
Almost 20 years later,
yeah,
it clicked. But in this movie, when he's like, by the way, I'm the serial killer, she's like, oh, I'm glad I didn't have sex with that guy. That would have been damaging. Well, thanks a lot, movie.
Well, I mean, my favorite. I mean, so Brandy is clearly Brandy and Jehu have been talking about this beforehand. And she's like, she gives him the look when they're like going into the room. She's like, I thought we were going to stay together.
Yeah,
and they were going to stay.
Yeah, like, we've discussed this.
Do I really need to sleep with this haddock? Like,
apparently.
This broiled haddock.
Just like, I really, are you fucking serious? She's like, I promised him. Sorry, you're just going to have to fuck
and
this guy.
Like, instead, nobody does any fucking tonight.
Nobody does any
because
fucking.
Because, after, you know, Julie's getting ready for bed, a fuckless bed, mind you.
Yes.
And then she's, oh, what's that noise? Again, she has to search the suite they're in for a potential boogerman.
Yeah. Every nook and cranny of this honeymoon suite has to be covered twice.
And what does she find in the closet? The boat worker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit
further, pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that happens pretty quick. Yeah, it happens pretty soon.
Because the body vanishes. And they get Jeffrey Combs and everyone to come up there.
Well,
and it's nothing.
So, like, the hooker comes on the island.
Correct.
For that night. That night when they're checking in, the hooker comes on the island, and the porter is the first guy who gets killed.
Right.
Yes. He doesn't get through the neck. He gets, like, a side swipe, like, through the head, I think.
Yeah, he kind of just gets dropped. It's after Jack Black, like, tries to get him to go to the mainland to some party, and he's like, yeah, but a hurricane's coming, and he's like, well, you're no fun, and like just stomps away. Also, this guy's hilariously doing like a fake island accent for the tourists. Like, he's like, oh, welcome to the Bahamas and everything, and then he's like, huh, these people, it sure is hard to make money here.
Yeah,
kind of a good gag.
Trying to finish his PhD. Oh, hey, man!
Yeah. Oh, putting myself through college. So like, he shoos Jack Black away, and then this dude gets murdered. So, like, minutes later,
in a decidedly un-fisherman-esque way.
Well, I feel like sometimes he just has to take the opportunity, like, to just kill somebody.
Right.
Yeah. No, I can't be fucking around trying to fish kill everybody.
I appreciate that, actually, because not long ago, I didn't even realize there were fish kills.
Well, I mean, this is my problem.
It makes sense.
My major problem with this series in general is that the kills are all the same, essentially.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of...
He's just using this hook.
Yeah, you're just getting hooked no matter what. And, like, Scream even. Like, Scream is just a guy in a... It's majorly just a guy in a ghost mask and a butcher knife.
Right.
But Rose McGowan
crushed. That impractical garage door killing is
the best. It makes no sense, but, like, at least they're thinking. They're thinking on their feet. I enjoy that.
Yes, of course.
This is just all hooks. It's all hooks.
Do you think one of the, like, rejected ad campaigns for, like, both of these movies or either of them was, like, this summer, you'll get hooked. I still know what you did last summer.
Jay Hughes cleavage.
Can we just talk about this for a second?
Yeah, let's stop everything.
Put the brakes on.
Because these are characters in the movie.
Yeah.
This movie.
And the first one.
These movies have a couple of problems. Like, all this movie does is like, can you see him? Can you see? Did everybody
see him? Looking at him?
Get a good look. All right, we're moving on, everybody. in five, four. You better look now. Like, the camera lingers on her body. Like,
you're going to have to wait a whole five more minutes before you see him again.
It's fucking creepy.
It lingers like the voyeur's eye, giving us a sense of terror and dread. It's arts.
I mean, Laura Mulvey would definitely be vomiting in the theater if she saw it.
I would love to see that.
She's fucking vomiting.
Like, so, Laura, what did you think of I Still Like What I Did Last Summer? Oh, that's great, Laura. Thanks for coming on We Hate Movies.
You're welcome.
Feminist film theorist Laura Mulvey, everybody.
That was nice.
No, but it's always nice to have her on the show.
She's a legend.
She is a legend. But it's just, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's like, and it's anything too, right? Yeah. It's her getting out of bed. It's her like putting luggage down. It's her opening a can of soup. Like,
They make a very distinct, I mean, we're not there yet, but the tanning bed scene was clearly like,
holy,
we
Toledo.
Have Jennifer Love Hewitt here. We haven't had a bikini scene yet.
I know.
Let's get into it right now.
It's raining on a tropical resort, so no one is swimming. There's nary a bikini to be found. Oh, thank God this tanning bed has a roof over it.
Yes, like, precisely.
It's so insane. But so, yeah. So back to the porter. His body drops down.
Right.
Oh, there's a dead body. Of course, no one else is in the room because everyone else is down doing karaoke. And she freaks out. They all run up. He's cleaned up the body, cleaned up all the blood. And now it's she's crazy. A lot of this movie is us playing she's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing that sucks, too, is like, yes, we saw the porter get killed, but he got killed way off on the docks. And she's seeing, like, bodies drop from ceilings and things like that. And we've already seen her, like, kind of maybe hallucinating already. Like, we had the church dream. So it's like, the movie very poorly tries to set up, like, well, maybe it's not real. And you're like, yeah, it is.
I saw the first movie. It's real.
Yeah.
I'm not coming here fresh. Yeah. This is not my first tango with this.
No. I know what Chris Cabin paid a ticket for.
Chris Cabin knows what you did last summer.
I'm very aware of what you did in this franchise last summer.
And then the summer before that, too, because that's when the actual first hit and ditch. Yeah.
Hit and ditch into the ocean. Which, by the way, my least favorite thing about that first movie is that Ryan, I guess it's because it's evidence, but the fact that Ryan Phillippe dives into the ocean because the fisherman took her crown.
Oh, right.
I'm like,
well, because it's like it could connect them to.
Yeah,
them.
I mean, that's what I guess it is. But like she screams, my crown. And I'm like, no, you let the chick go.
But posterity.
No, shut up.
But again, though, like severing any ties to that night, it's like, why would you want to hang on to that? Remember that time you won Parade Queen and then,
remember that?
Oh yeah, we killed that guy.
Yeah, and that was way back in high school, and you're still upset. Well, she's dead now, but yes. if you were like, come on, it's beauty contests. Are we really caring about this?
Listen, dude, people have hung on to less for Grim Death.
Yeah, well.
Or like Grim Death.
Al Bundy, rather. Al Bundy syndrome. Lest we forget Al Bundy syndrome.
That fucking football game, man.
But anyway, so Jack Black is about to get murdered.
The thing is, when they start killing people in this movie, like, they really amp it up. So it's like, the porter gets it. Then, like, this housekeeper hilariously gets murdered because apparently, the hooker has rented out a room in the hotel. Because he's got, like, his own room, and she's knocking on the door.
He booked the entire hotel.
He
had to do this months and months in advance.
I mean, he definitely sold off his boat for this.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
exist.
He did in the winter, and he's just like, oh, I can't wait for summer. Oh, better make those reservations.
Do you think that's why he did it in the off-season? Because it's cheaper?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I have to rent this hotel out, like the whole thing.
Was it the off-season? I guess it's summer, right? But it's just a storm is hitting.
Season. It's hurricane season, so that's their off-season.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Because, no one's going to come there.
So this is late summer. No, July 4th.
It's July 4th weekend.
Trying to make logic of where exactly this fucking place is in the Bahamas.
Bermuda Triangle, man.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely probably Bermuda
right
Triangle.
In the middle. Nessie would probably be out there as well.
All types of shit, man.
And the Megalodon, the whole fucking batch.
Flying saucers and everything. Amelia Earhart.
She's there. She's running this hotel.
She's riding the Megalodon.
The movie Amelia.
Yeah, that's where that movie went.
If that movie was that movie, I would be so happy. But that movie isn't that movie, so I'm not happy with that movie.
I kind of like to pretend that the end of that, because the end of that movie, and of course we're talking about Amelia, the Hilary Swank film.
Mira Nair directed that.
The end of it is her, like, she takes off on the journey, and you just kind of see, like, a bunch of clouds. Like, here's the actual, like, extended ending of that movie, right? It's, like, it's just the clouds, and then when you think it's going to go to credits, the clouds actually start thinning out a bit, and the plane starts landing.
Whoa.
And she lands on, like, a gigantic, futuristic aircraft carrier.
Shut the fuck up.
Right?
And you're then, like, fucking with me right now.
And then, no, dude, and then she gets out of the plane. And she gets off, and it's her and her, like, navigator, like, that little, like, wormy dude that she was with, you know?
And then she shakes hands with Gleep Glop.
There's just some Gleep Glop and aliens, and they're like...
Shut the fuck up.
They're like, welcome to the Bermuda Triangle. Here, you'll never get sick, you'll never get old, and you'll never die.
And here's your Gundam suit.
Yeah, and here's your Gundam suit.
Because if you're going to go out in these waters, you're going to want to do it in a Gundam suit. There's going to be a lot
of kaiju. Trust me. If there's a big... whole bunch of kaiju at the Bermuda Triangle.
Holy fuck, that sounds amazing.
So then it's just Amelia Earhart is in a fucking Jaeger suit.
All right, it's going to go to...
fighting monsters.
After this episode comes out, that movie's going to go to number one on Amazon.
Good luck 3 hours later.
Oh, man. So back to a less entertaining movie than fucking Gaijin fighting fucking Amelia Earhart, which is awesome.
Yeah, and probably did happen in real life.
She's still alive. She's still fighting fucking kaijus, man. Don't worry about it.
Fighting the good fight.
Yeah. So we kill the porter
and the maid.
And then so there's Jack Black, and he's smoking weed in his little, like, apartment that he has on this resort property.
It's the tool shed. He's in the tool shed.
He makes sure the pool's maintained.
Yeah, and like
he takes care of the grounds,
yes, and the plants and such.
And he's got a little bit of a grow going on.
Oh, by the way, the plants.
He's got a beautiful little farm.
Don't worry about it.
The most dialogue he gives is towards this fucking plant of marijuana.
And also, it's the only time where he, like, talks like not a moron, which is kind of funny. Like, when he talks to everybody else, like, he's trying to, like, talk hip.
Hey,
and, like,
man, what's going on?
He's trying to appeal to those stupid college kids, right, man?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just, like, broing out with Will and Mekhi Phifer and everything. But when he's talking to the fucking weed plants, and he's just like, well, hey there, my little darlings. How's everybody coming along today?
It's the marijuana plants are the only ones that truly know him.
They're most empathetic characters, I'd say, in the movie.
Oh, yes.
By the way, here's how you also make this movie better. Like, he's, like, smoking a J, right? And he's talking to the plants, and he's like, well, I certainly hope you had a great day today, ladies. And then someone goes, smoke me, Titus! Because his name is Titus, by the way. But if the marijuana plant started talking like the Little Shop of Horrors, like, that's pretty great, right? You just gotta smoke me.
That'd be amazing, and it turns into like a instead of a swamp thing, like a marijuana thing versus hooker.
Dude, a marijuana swamp thing. It's just the laziest nature superhero.
Right.
You know what, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll avenge that pond.
Yeah.
Later in the week.
I mean, Homeland's starting.
Could you mist me? Are these lights correct?
You know,
they have to be very particular. They can't just be any lights.
I know, as a plant being living in this swamp, I really should be upset about all this litter, but if you want to keep throwing snack food down here, I'm totally fine with it. These discarded ruffles are fantastic.
I mean, as long as I get some soil every day, I could also eat pizza.
Do you think it's feasible for me to get Hulu out here in the swamp? That's one thing I'd like to look into. I know. I will avenge my forest and fight those land developers maybe later in the week.
No, you won't.
Do it. I mean, how many episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine do I have to miss?
You know what, marijuana swamp thing? You have dedicated your life to... You know what? No, you really... Marijuana swamp thing, you need to get on this.
Jeez, thank God there's an actual swamp thing around here.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Ugh, you're going to bring up that guy in front of my face? Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I am. Because you know what? He's got a job. He's successful. He's a scientist.
I would love to read Alan Moore's Marijuana Swamp Thing. All I'm saying. So, yeah, I mean, whatever, man. Like, everyone's dying, and eventually...
Well, here's a question about that. Okay, Jack Black gets killed, whoop-de-doo.
Right.
Garden shears in the chest.
Garden shears in the chest.
What? Which, actually, we were complaining,
yeah.
Right? Hook hand jabs the hook into his hand, Jack Black's hand, so, like, sticks him to the table.
If he was a fish, it would be, like, the fin, just so we're on
right.
the same page.
Yeah. Yes. He gets him in the fin and sticks him to the table and then just takes these garden shears and jams it in his chest.
Right.
A little out of character for the hooker.
But here's the thing, and this is what I don't like about this movie, is that like it's all like super close. Like you'll see it with the maid as well. Like he swipes her and apparently that just kills her.
A lot of off-camera swiping.
And then it's like a close-up on like just the hook digging into some cloth with some fake blood around it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be her spine, but it just looks like, you know, a puddle of jelly.
Yeah.
And
okay, here's a real fucking question, man.
Right, right.
All
right?
Because, okay, the hooker is all like, I know what you did that summer. Like, I hate these kids for their lack of compassion for human life such as mine.
Yeah.
They were willing just to throw me under the rug.
Even though I was murdering somebody at the time.
Meanwhile, yeah, he's just, he's got no, it's like a revenge slasher, but he's just murdering anyone just for the sake of murdering, which is, I understand what your Jasons and whatnot do,
right?
But this guy supposedly has this fucking high and mighty purpose,
right? He's got a very specific motivation, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then he just killed. I think he should have more respect for human life.
But as we
as we all should, perhaps.
As we find out in this movie, thanks to Estes, or I forget what his name. Bill Cobb's character. Apparently the hooker started out as a hooker on this island, and
he was like the groundskeeper of this hotel.
You start hooking in the Bahamas, man. Yeah,
you do not stop.
You'll
lifelong gig.
Eaten by crabs. Don't worry about it.
So we find out that him and his family was here. He shot his wife or killed her.
Just butchered that wife.
And then him and his, you know, daughter and son went off to
Southport. You mean Will Ben's son?
Will's Benson.
Will Ben's son.
Da, da, da.
Said it like William Shatner, but that's the only way it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Will Ben's son.
Oh my God, if William Shatner played Will and he's just going there with, with young Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh yeah, that's a movie.
Dude, he'd get it done.
Called Night of the Creeps.
Part 5 at this point, probably.
Do they say what became of the daughter?
The daughter is the one who died in the first one.
Oh, right.
And then
he thinks
that her boyfriend killed her. He didn't, but he kills the boyfriend. And when he's coming back from killing the boyfriend.
That's right.
That's when
right.
they get hit. So, everybody's dying.
everybody's dying.
Jack Black's dead. Jeffrey Combs gets a machete in the head that we don't see.
Which looks like a great scene because I still know has been painted in Jeffrey Combs' blood on the wall of this office.
It would have been great. It would have been such a great scene for him just to step and be like, what do you think you're doing in here? Like, you know, have that little
I mean, and that's Jeffrey Combs can shine in that kind of little scene.
Oh, yes.
That's now, where his wheelhouse is.
But so here's my question, though. So we've been saying how, like, the hooker only does the hook. When we see these variations on the killings, is that Will? Because we do have two killers in this movie.
I feel like, because, you'd never know if Will actually has a slicker of his own. I think... This is to prove
now, son,
you have a slicker of your own.
They're running around trading slickers like, oh, it's time for you to wear the slicker, you know?
It's like,
you take a walk in your dad's old footsteps here.
I asked you 4 times before we left if you had both slickers. Do you know how impractical this is for us to be sharing a slicker while we're killing people?
Willie, I am 6'6". You are 5'4". This is not going to work out. You are just going to have to kill some people plain-faced, okay? Shit.
Oh, here, I found this hockey mask in the tool shed. Why don't you put that on? You cliched son of a bitch.
There is a nice reference to Jason and Freddy in this movie.
Mackay Pfeiffer say something?
Yeah, when when she was afraid of the boogerman and then they were sleeping
yeah.
in the bed. Everyone sleeps together that night.
That's a hilarious Scooby-Doo joke. Yeah. They're all scared, so they all sleep in the same bed.
So he's pissed off about that because he wanted to get it, you know, on, right?
I'm surprised Mekhi Phifer didn't try to just angle some group sex at that point.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't think he put his elbow into it, really.
Do you think Will...
Figuratively or literally.
I mean, he obviously would have tried that, but I guess Will, Ben's son, was holding him back?
Oh, yeah, actually, that's... I mean, but he would angle for the three-way, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, he was making all the waters lukewarm when they were trying to be hot, so... it makes sense, but... So, Combs is dead, so now we're all pissed off, and we're like, okay, we're gonna get this guy.
Yeah. Oh, can I just pause, by the way, and acknowledge the fact that there's another movie going on called Freddie Prinze Tries to Get a Boat?
Oh, God.
So just to recap what this other movie is he jumps down the hill and escapes Hooker. He's brought to a hospital, very injured, breaks out of the hospital almost instantly. It's a useless scene. Goes to a pawn shop.
Where Mark Boone Jr.
Right, that was our clue from last week. Mark Boone Jr. Right. is the proprietor of the pawn shop. He hawks that fucking engagement ring, buys a gun, or I guess makes Mark Boone Jr. like sell him the gun.
They're swapping the ring for the gun. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And he, very important detail here, by the way, he instructs Mark Boone Jr. to put bullets in the gun.
Load it.
Yep. Loaded, he says, right? So keep that
in
your back
pocket. And then Mark Boone Jr. gets shot in the face.
And then he takes
he doesn't. He doesn't. We cut, and the movie continues.
Yeah. And then he goes to he drives to a dock and hijacks a boat. Like, he points the gun at this dude, and he's like, I'm going to steal your boat. And then he starts making his way, he chugs his way to the
first, yeah. He's taking a goddamn bus to Miami.
Oh, we see him on a bus.
He's on a bus to Miami, and they waste so much time on him.
This is like the shark from Jaws 4. This is just unbelievable travel itinerary.
Like what? In like 48 hours, you're getting to Miami from wherever the fuck Southport is?
It's in North Carolina. I don't know if it's set in North Carolina, but that's where they shot it as well.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, once he takes that gun out and gets that boat, I'm just picturing it would be great to have a great movie here where he's just pursued by the U.S. Coast Guard. They board the ship and they beat the fuck out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. He's taken to they take him out to international waters, and it's like, you know, out here, we try things a whole different way.
It's like, we're not the Coast Guard out here. Throws the badge down.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
You think the mafia is hard. This is the fucking Florida Coast Guard. Yeah. You are so fucked right now.
We spend all day rescuing fat kids in inner tubes. So when we get a chance to pound out a sissy rich boy, we do it.
And then they feed him to a giant octopus.
Right, right. And then that gets stepped on by a Gundam.
Then Amelia Earhart sticks her head out the Gundam window and goes, sorry about that.
Yeah, and then the U.S. Coast Guard has to hightail it out of there real quick.
No, it's Amelia Earhart and a big Gundam.
There's giant waves coming in. It's like a perfect storm because of all the Gundam and kaiju.
Yeah, all the fighting has caused a real wake.
Yeah. Fuck it. That's a fucking great movie.
So much better than this with him just chugging his way to the island.
And I was in the back of my head, I'm like, wouldn't it be so much easier if it turned out Freddie Prinze did go on this vacation with them.
Right.
And he was just being a real cold shit about I want to go to clam bake. I don't understand why I couldn't go. I mean, we just got
you know what they don't have on this island is clams. And all the clams, I didn't have clams. I'm talking stormy. What the fuck is that?
I'm sure you can get fucking seafood in the Bahamas. Would you relax?
No, you can't. Not my clams, not Southport clams. Southport clams come with engagement rings.
Oh, my God.
What did you say? I'm nothing. Clams.
Oh, my God. If I was Julie, once he showed up, I would kill him, too. And just because I'll just blame the killer.
Yeah, the hooker did it. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you guys. The hooker got him. Yeah.
But, just have him there. Have him being a cold shit. And then, Will is working at the hotel.
Oh.
And it's, a little bit more of a, tension thing there. Where you actually might have some drama in this fucking 98-minute movie that feels like 3 fucking hours.
Oh, it just goes on and on, man.
So they're all on blast now. They're all like, we got to go kill the hooker.
Oh, also, this is also right around here is when Julie gets trapped in the tanning bed.
Oh, right. Because they're like, you know what? We had a bad night. Brandy's like, you boys go off and do something. We're going to go to the gym and work out. J-Love gets on like a Stairmaster for 2 seconds and she's like, this ain't happening.
Right.
So Brandy's like, you know what you need? It's been rainy. It's been cloudy. Why don't you go in this tanning bed here? And she's like, oh, okay. And Brandy's like, well, no, I'll leave you to it. And then we just get like this striptease for no reason.
Yeah, did you see him yet? Did you see him again?
Everybody paying attention, because after this, things are going to get real, and we're not going to be able to look at it as much. So everybody...
This is like your last time to soak it in.
Get a good look, Costanza. Everybody looking?
I know you thought that with your ticket came a framed picture of them. It is not that way, really.
Were you pissed off when you went to the theater and they didn't have it?
I threw down my popcorn in the middle of the fucking movie.
Oh, geez.
I thought I was getting a framed picture here.
Out of pure fury.
Especially in 98 when she was all the rage.
Yeah, I mean, she was everywhere.
She was
such a rage, by the way, that one of her own songs is on the soundtrack to this movie.
How do I deal with it?
How do I deal without you? Whatever it is.
Wasn't one of the lyrics of that, come get me! What are you doing?
I'm right here! What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Because I remember like when that video came out, it was all around the same time. It was all there.
Because that was this... Because the first one had... it was what made Our Lady Peace famous, because Clumsy debuted on the soundtrack.
That did it, dude.
That's
and Our Lady Peace were famous
Our Lady
for exactly
Peace?
A year.
Ever hear Our Lady Peace?
Yeah.
Well, you got to thank...
Jehu.
Thank Hooker and Will Ben's son.
No, Will Ben's son... Isn't in the
Our hooker
Lady
is
movie.
Yeah the hooker oh, you could yeah
part
yeah.
one
well yeah well you know I'm sure the hooker his baby was around
also
somewhere.
If we're talking about trade up trade down here trade down from first movie concert with Southern Culture on the Skids second movie Jennifer Love Hewitt doing karaoke.
Yeah. And also you know what's kind of shitty too is like when they're starting that karaoke scene Brandy's like come on, everybody. Karaoke's going to be fun. And I'm just like, all right. I mean, Brandy's going to sing. Like, I guess that's fine.
I mean,
like,
that's
whatever.
What she does. It.
And then she, like, she puts the microphone to her mouth, opens her mouth, and then is like, here you go, Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I was like, no, come on. At least you're a real singer. She's just Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And she does spend most of this movie sitting up in her room.
Yeah.
So I don't get, it makes no sense. And of course she sings, I Will Survive, God damn it.
Because.
Get it.
Because if you find yourself in a horror movie.
You have to make references to songs that talk about survival.
If you're doing karaoke in a horror movie, the last song you want to be playing is I Will Survive. Because it's going to be very ironic of the fact that there's going to be someone trying to take your life and you might not survive.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this audio warning of what it's like to be in a horror movie.
Jehu forever.
Julie knows she's the final girl, so it's okay.
She gets in this tanning bed. Hook Hand comes by, and he's got apparently has some plastic ties.
Zip
on
ties,
him.
Yeah.
Just got some zip ties. Zip ties that thing closed.
It's the 90s.
Yep. And just
I guess he uses that
it.
For his boat ropes or something. I don't know. What else do you use that for? I would imagine
arresting people. I mean, that's the only thing I've ever seen.
I mean, you use them for all sorts of stuff. But my point is, why would you bring this with you as a serial killer?
But
why not just kill
why
her?
Would you do something? Is why would you program a tanning bed to roast somebody? Possibly.
Right. Yeah. Why? Why?
He turns it all the way up and leaves, and then she starts flipping the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then when her friends show up. They're like, we gotta get her out of here. They start like hitting it with like an axe.
Dude, I was losing my mind.
Yeah, unplug it. Fucking unplug it first. What the fuck is going on?
Dude takes a barbell to it.
Yeah.
It's oh, that's
even
what
like
it was.
A sharp instrument. It's just fucking Mekhi Phifer and his barbell.
All right, I hope you like broken glass, Julie.
He just starts ramming this barbell against the handle of this thing. And she's like flipping the fuck. And the whole time I'm like, somebody find the plug.
Or
somebody find the plug.
Or turn it down.
Or a fucking pair of scissors.
Yeah.
How about that shit? A pair of fucking scissors.
Go get the knife out of Jeffrey Combs' head.
Just pry it out.
That's another thing. They, if someone's going around killing people, why wouldn't I arm myself at least a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I'm taking everyone I
take
find.
Take the murder weapons. Who gives a fuck? It's,
exactly.
It's the Bahamas. It's all good. I'm taking wiped Jack, under the rug. I mean, they don't, just, need, just they don't ask, need evidence.
Just ask Orin Vandersloot.
I mean,
right, yeah.
Jack Black probably has some kind of fucking like work belt. I'm just taking that and I'm like arming myself with every sharp thing I can find.
Exactly. I'm pulling that machete out of Jeffrey Combs' head. He doesn't need it.
It
looks nice, but he doesn't need it on his head.
A scene I've never seen, and this is, you know, for whoever's directing a movie.
Listen up.
A lot of times you will see the fucking thing like he writes, "I still know in blood." I really want to see a scene where a person actually has to like take the blood just from the person and
totally
has to
write
it on the wall.
Because this is paintbrush quality.
Yeah.
Like somebody took a few minutes to work this out.
That would even be better, to see a killer like take out a paintbrush from his slicker and dip it in the blood.
Well, I mean,
like
that's almost
really
some your next shit. Like an act, you have to really know, like, this is a human being doing this shit.
Right. Yeah.
And like that's
great
what I
movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You're next. I really, really love
it. Love it.
And actually, his new movie is really good,
The
too.
Guest.
The Guest.
Oh, yeah.
God, I want to see it so bad.
Can't wait.
Ugh.
It's a lot of fun.
So good.
So they're all on blast, and they're about to kill this hooker guy. So it's the main four, Estes and Jennifer Esposito. Am I correct?
Those are the only people that are left at the resort alive.
So I believe... So they go and they find Jennifer Esposito in the freezer.
They're trying to hide. They open the walk-in freezer, and she like hits Mekhi Phifer because she's hiding in there. It's a big horseshit thing. He's like, why would you do that? This, that, and the other thing. He's instantly getting the traditional hook through the chin.
He gets it through the throat.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Mekhi
it comes
Phifer
out.
Gets it
it's
from the back.
It's
oh, right.
Totally Kevin Bacon right in the first Friday.
Yes.
Right after he has that line of like how he, I forget, something about, like, I haven't seen a psycho killer.
I haven't seen a psycho killer, Freddy Krueger, fucking Jason thing.
He's like, everybody's freaking out. I haven't seen a psycho killer yet or something.
Yeah,
and
then
it's like,
he gets it.
Jam town, dude. And the guy, like, pulls him, like, this is weird. Like, this is where the superhuman strength is coming in.
Yeah.
Because he hooks him through the neck, and the guy's, like, hiding in the ceiling. And he just pulls him up with one hand into the ceiling, and you never see him again.
And the hook isn't like moving up through the like.
No,
that's what happens. Like,
listen,
it's gross. Like,
yeah,
what would happen there is really gross.
You put weight on something like that, it's gonna tear right through it.
This is not good. God.
Like a toothpick through a fruit roll-up, dude. Just is right up.
Oh, does that work that way? I'll have to try that out.
Gonna get myself some fruit roll-ups right after this.
I might.
There's also, so, I mean, yada yada, a lot of cat and mouse at this point, right?
Yeah, right.
One of the best things ever is Brandy falling through not one, but two huge panes of glass and getting up like nothing happened.
Yeah.
She falls through like a window and lands on like this, like, I guess it's like a
greenhouse.
It's like a greenhouse sunroom type thing, all glass. And she's like, wow, I probably shouldn't be walking on this. Let's take a couple of steps. Oh, no. And I fell through that and lands on like a workbench. Like, she gets fucked up.
You're
and then
done,
she gets
man.
Up like, whew.
And
that
then,
was close.
And then a minute later, and I know, you know, she's got a trim figure and everything like that.
Oh.
She squeezes through the window of a door.
It's, okay, to try to set up what this door looks like. It's a door and there's a window that's divided into four panes. And they can't unlock the door. There's like a chain around it or something. So Jennifer Love Hewitt takes an axe and smashes it through one of the panes.
It's like,
you have an axe.
Oh yeah.
Smash through the wooden partition too. Yeah. Like break the whole window. No. She just breaks the one, and the guy's coming after Brandy, and Brandy's like, well, I guess this'll have to do. And she like dislocates both legs, a shoulder to like squeeze through this thing.
And I get it, it's a horror movie, but why doesn't he ever just run?
Just speed it up a little bit.
Why does he have to Jason walk everywhere?
We know who this guy is. We know the identity of this man. He's a man. He's not a machine. He's a man. Yeah. Like,
there are two of them too, so it could be happening rapid pace.
Yeah, like, you know what, Willis family? Pick up the fucking pace, man.
And you both look like you're in fine shape. You're fishermen, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
you're
doing
your
nothing but
all day?
Hauling loads.
Come on, guys.
It's so stupid.
They bump into the old timer, the voodoo man.
Oh, right. Oh,
voodoo, yes.
And he knows about the contest. This is where my memory is a little
hazy.
Well,
because he heard, because Brandy was like, oh, we got the fucking answer right. It was Rio de Janeiro. And he's like, oh, well, that's wrong.
Yeah, he's like, he comes
up. It's really ominous, too. He's just like, Rio is not the capital.
Well, he doesn't even say, it's just in his look. He's just like, oh.
Yeah, but then later, like, he goes, like, happens at the beginning of the movie. He's like, okay, then, and, like, backs out of the room. And then, like, when everything's going down and everybody's freaking out, they run into him in the lobby, and he's just like, Brasilia. And they're like, wait, what?
That's when I stab him. I'm sorry, but that would freak me the fuck out.
And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say was Rio de Janeiro is not the capital of Brazil. It's Brasilia. And
don't you hear the glass breaking, the screams of death all around
he's
you?
He's like, no, but first, I have to correct these kids with geography.
And here's a whole bunch of fucking backstory you didn't give two flying fucks about.
Oh, well, that's how we know all the stuff wife, about like the wife and working on the island is because this guy takes them to the fucking cemetery that's on this resort property. And he's like telling the whole story about like murdering the wife and taking the kids and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this is where they are all buried.
Just like we're in the middle of this slasher. Shit's getting real. And it's like, come this way to Expedition Town.
Population, you.
Yes.
And it's about the whole fucking family.
Yeah. You see his bloodline.
Then you get, like, you see all the graves. And then it's like the open grave, which is Will Benson's, or Will, what's the guy's name?
Ben?
No, Ben Willis.
Ben Willis.
It's like Ben, yeah, Will it's very Benson, confusing. Yeah, Ben right. Willis's grave is open, and he's painted, like, their, her
Julia,
name.
Julia
next to him also, Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis's tombstone from from The Sixth Sense, you know.
I can only hope.
Whoa.
If he had the voodoo powers to actually get Bruce Willis to come and take care of the hooker, now there's the fight I want.
If you could get a voodoo power to stop him from making movies with 50 Cent for a while, that'd be great.
there ain't a religion on earth that could do that.
Oh, God. Could you
Scientology.
Maybe. Yeah, Scientology could get it done.
Yeah.
So now we're just at this thing, and the fucking guy, like, runs away. Estes, like, runs away, and then Hook Hand's there, and he's like, let's fucking throw down, like, here we go, this, that, and the other thing. Whatever. He fucking gets shot or something and falls into his own grave.
Oh, well, this is Freddie Prinze Jr. shows up.
Yeah, oh, right. Oh, I forgot.
Finally.
Because Estes gets harpooned.
Oh, right. He gets harpooned and falls on top of Jennifer Esposito. And then the hooker's just like, well, thank you for saving me some time. And just, like, very conveniently pushes it even farther down and kills her.
Thank God I just cleaned my hook. Shit.
Right, so I guess then they run back to the cemetery. Is that what's happening?
No, because Will Ben's son, comes out of the killer closet.
It's about fucking time.
Julia, I have something to tell you. I've wanted to tell somebody for a really long time.
I killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm the killer.
I murdered a bunch of people. Yeah. This isn't my blood.
Oh, right. That's what it is, because he comes up all covered in blood.
He's
and she's like,
I'm hurt.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'll take care of you. I'll stop in the middle of all this to clean your wounds, Jesus.
Rampage is happening.
This is why we saw Mary and Jesus or something.
Right, dude.
It's all about
tending to the wounds.
That's what we're doing, dude. Yeah,
So
I believe that means Ben's son is also...
I think he's the Antichrist.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because I don't...
You flip it around.
I plumb haven't seen him do anything Christ-like
this whole movie. No, me neither, to be honest. I mean, he's kind to some people. He was kind of kind for, like...
You know what? He was. I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But I don't think murder is good.
No,
with the big,
I don't believe that
upstairs.
Jesus was particularly fond of murder, but... No. Yeah,
unless it was his own, I guess.
Because he's like, for everybody. Sure.
Yeah, it's for everybody. It's to stop things like this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it makes sense.
Just trying to teach people lessons. Jesus was a teacher.
Yeah.
So
I say, you know what, kids out there, live by example.
Yeah.
So they get back to the gravesite, and then Freddie Prinze shows up, and he's got the gun, and it's like, here we go, I'm going to take you to hell tonight. And he pulls that trigger, dude.
Yeah.
And it's just click. And I'm like, remember earlier in the movie when you told Mark Boone Jr. to fucking load that gun?
Did you watch him do it, Freddie Prinze?
Yeah.
Will I just assumed.
Like, come on.
I just swing by the clam bake on my way to the fucking bus station. I would love to be like at the end of this movie. Love to see at the end of this movie, like it cuts to like a year later, and just Freddie Prinze Jr. is so fucking fat.
The clam bake. Oh, the clam bake is here again. Every day's a clam bake.
Oh,
he's
my
just
God.
Got a straw in the butter.
Butter. My butter. I lost all my friends to a murderer. I deserve more butter.
And one whiff of thin mint?
Yeah. I couldn't possibly.
Oh, God.
Bring it in a bucket. I'm going to throw up clams.
So, and then Hookhand comes out and he's like, all right, boy, we're going to kill this Freddie Prinze Jr. And like goes at him with this like, whatever, this fucking pole or spear
or
something.
It's his hook.
It's the hook? Oh, right. He runs at him.
He's go up. He's yes, up and
yes,
then down.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. And then he comes down and Freddie Prinze is like, guys, get out of the way. And just like jumps down on the ground and he fucking kills his own son. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Dude drops like a bag of rocks.
He hooks the hooker son.
Yeah. Yep.
The hooker hooked his son.
It's like a snake eating itself.
Yeah, mistaken hookening. That's what he
mistaken
said.
Mistaken victimhood.
When he got brought down to the station for soliciting. It's mistaken hookening.
So
but they had him hook, lining, and sinker, right?
There you are. Mercy me.
I couldn't even say it right. That's how shitty it was.
So then there's a little more scuffling, this, that, and then apparently, I guess Mark Boone Jr. only left out one of the six bullets.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's so
dumb. Did the first one just not work?
Yeah. What are we talking about? Because she picks up the gun, blows him away.
Well, you know, maybe Mark Boone Jr. is like, this kid's, you know, like, for safety reasons, I always leave the first one empty, the chamber empty.
But he clicks
empty.
It like two or three times, I think.
Does he?
Like, yeah, because he's like, oh, fuck.
Maybe it's like, oh, this fucking shitty ring is not worth that. You know, I'll give him three bullets.
These are empty. These are empty shells.
You only get three bullets. For this wedding ring, you get the gun and three out of six possible
bullets.
But then
no, because fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt blows him away at least 17.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
She has the cheat codes.
And she's got a game genie hooked up to that gun. That's
oh,
what it
man.
Is.
A game genie just shows up like an actual genie.
Hi, I'm the evil djinn from Wishmaster.
You want 100 lives in Mario Brothers? Here I am.
This could make sense because where does outdated video gaming technology end up?
The Bahamas.
Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah,
and what is happening? A hurricane blowing in all these creatures and Gundams.
Oh, yeah, you're
the
right.
Lost socks from the laundromat. Everything. Yeah.
And game genies and evil djinns.
Here
all
it comes.
Sorts of elemental
all,
spirits.
All the Jaguars that nobody wanted after once the 64 came out.
Oh, those poor Jaguars. Here it comes. A tidal wave of Jaguars.
They all just get thudded to death. Bludgeoned to death.
Everybody dies.
Forget the Sharknado.
Yeah, you
don't give me the Jaguar-nado.
The Jaguar-nado.
And maybe, you know, in the sequel, you can have actual Jaguars.
Well, then you would have the 64s because, I mean, the Wii's took them out.
Yeah. Oh, also, GameCube.
Oh, the GameCube.
Which was a bit of a failure.
Yeah.
It was. It was a okay console. But,
I liked it.
But you're right. That's what's fucking raining from the skies, GameCube.
Yeah, GameCube's no shit's hurt.
Just getting clunked right in the head with a big old plastic cube.
Yeah,
R.I.P.D.
You're gone.
Also, when she blows him away, by the way... One of the first times I can remember seeing CGI bullet wounds.
Yes.
It's really bad, computer bullet spray. It looks like fucking Doom.
Well, that's also when Mekhi
that's
Pfeiffer...
why it's a video game. She'd use the code.
When Mekhi Pfeiffer gets it through the neck, it's clearly like...
Oh,
a
is it really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
He just turns into one of those 8-bit Doom monsters for a second.
Just disintegrates into a pile of fucking turquoise shit.
But, yeah. And again... Puss. After the first time, like, I'm Jennifer Love Hewitt. I just killed, I killed this guy already once, and he came back.
Right.
I just killed him again. He's in the grave. Why don't I just go and find the nearest fucking batch of gasoline?
Oh, yeah, dude.
And pour it all in there.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. In the grave, he's saying.
Okay. Pour it all in the grave and light a match and just make double sure.
Oh, yeah. Just double sure.
Like, just he came back. Like, I understand the first time you thought he was dead because
right.
you, I think you speared him a few times and
tossed
him over.
What happens to him at the end of the first movie? He gets thrown out the water.
Oh, yeah. He gets his arm cut off, which is now, I guess, why he probably has a permanent hook
hand.
Yeah,
he has like...
And then he falls in the water and they never find him. But...
it's not like he would bleed out or anything like that.
Yeah,
that certainly would not happen.
No.
And it's not like that blood wouldn't attract all the sharks.
Here's the thing is, I wouldn't go for the gas. He's in an open grave right there. Just fucking fill it in. Burying someone alive is one of my... It's on my bucket list.
Is that going to be the last one you're going to do to yourself?
No. It's got to be to someone else.
Gotcha.
Preferably that never happens to me. That'd be terrible.
So he's dead. It's like the sun comes up. The Coast Guard, I guess, somehow got wind of what was going on.
Well, I mean, they had probably heard some kind of fucking emergency.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, that's true.
They're like, stay where you are. You're fucking going to The Hague.
Yeah.
So they get, I mean, Brandy, we thought, might have been dead.
That's what's so dumb.
This is
because
fucking garbage.
The movie does not in any way lead you to believe that Brandy's been murdered. Like, they just forget about Brandy.
She just got, the last time we see her before this shot is her getting tossed through into a bookshelf, I think.
Yeah, and it's
I say she's dead. I say we moved on. I don't want this. Oh, my friend made it.
Well, that's the thing. It should just be her and Freddie Prinze. And it's like, thank you for coming to my rescue. Like, everybody else is dead. There's no reason for Brandy to be alive at the end of the
movie. Two survivors tops.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how these movies work. It's a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
That's who survives. If you're going to do two, that's how you do it.
That's how Cabin in the Woods made their parody. They're like, yep. Ends with the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Smart.
Great fucking movie. God
really
damn it.
Nice movie.
Although, terrible movie. Jason Goes to Hell ended with two as well.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
There's a lot of them that end like that and that are terrible.
Yeah.
Such as this movie.
Yeah.
We're saying that's unlike this.
Oh, yeah, because it's three.
Yeah.
So she's alive. No one cares. Like, even Jennifer Love Hewitt's like, oh, that's cool.
Oh, man, I just survived this second humongous trauma in 2 years.
Also, it's like, where were you?
I think maybe Jesus showed up and resurrected her because that's why they were showing it in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, they were setting it up, so, I mean, it does have to be a miracle.
It was a miracle.
It's a miracle that Jennifer Love Hewitt made it out of her and her breasts made out of here.
Yeah, unscathed, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Not a nick on them.
So... That's kind of just the end of the movie. A really terrible song starts playing. The sun's coming up. It stopped raining. Like, oh, happy day. And then...
Holy shit.
That one of the single dumbest epilogues.
Ugh.
Like, you want to talk about useless shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sorry. Like, that movie ends when the helicopter comes. They're like, you're safe now. Stay where you are. The Coast Guard's coming. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
Crane shot out of the fucking murder house in Scream 1.
Yeah, yep.
Simple crane shot
exactly,
out.
Exactly.
That's all
exactly.
You need to do. You're out.
Your fucking dumb songs playing. Everybody's happy. You know, we lived through it. Credits.
Yeah, and you go away on the helicopter and you look back and you see that they've nuked the island.
You would.
You're going to see there was actually some dinosaurs on there that we never got to. Life finds a way.
Other half of the resort. Well, I'll bring her to the Jurassic Island, and if I don't get her, surely a raptor will.
Oh, that's what that huge wall was for. This part's a resort, and that's a dinosaur island. There's King Kong. They're all here.
Oh, I would love that shared universe because then Wayne
Skull Island,
Wayne Knight with Jack Black, maybe.
God, Godzilla was supposed to be here like an hour ago. I don't know what the fuck is his problem.
So we cut to some time later.
House.
We don't really know.
They're living in a giant house because I guess they're going to get married or got married.
Well,
it's
she's
a college dropout and he's a fisherman who can't catch fish.
We're just two kids in love.
I guess
it's
so.
Also, it's the 90s. You could get a gigantic house for
free. You probably
have
that's actually true.
For free.
Yeah.
She's wearing the exact same engagement ring. So where's the deleted scene where he goes back and harasses Mark Boone Jr. to get that shit back?
I'm giving you this gun back. It's slightly used.
Well, you are a pawn shop, so you should be able
by
to
that,
take
I mean, it's quite a huge part of evidence.
He's like, hey, has it been used to kill anybody? Oh, it has? I'll definitely take it back then. Just file this serial number
just
off of it.
Up the value.
Yeah.
for that sicko.
So it's so stupid. Like, he's brushing his teeth. Like, they're getting ready for bed. And it's the longest of the several just going to walk around and listen for noises.
Yep.
That's all that's going on.
Creak.
And then she's like, "You're just being stupid, Julie. Get it together." And she, like, sits down on the bed. And then, like, camera very slowly looks down her body in her pajamas, because we can't just fucking cut to the floor. We got to really just caterpillar down there, man.
Yeah.
And then we get to the bottom, and there is the hooker hiding under the bed in full costume, and he just grabs her by the ankles, cut to the Jennifer Love Hewitt song and the credits. For what and why?
Is this just her demented mind? Has she finally gone mad from the hooker? Or
exactly.
Is the hooker back again? Maybe now he's like a Jason Lives situation where he's just a walking corpse.
This movie does not have supernatural elements. This franchise does not have supernatural elements.
Oh, yeah, I could fix that for you real quick. There was voodoo on that island. Andrew, there was voodoo on that island.
You did a protection curse.
Weekend at Bernie's 2 had voodoo in the Bahamas. It's starting to add
it's
up.
It's the same universe.
That would be hilarious if she was like, "Oh, no, someone's used voodoo to bring the hooker back from the dead." And she turns off the radio and he just falls to the floor.
Oh, yes. Just give me
that
movie.
Off. Keep the Jennifer Love Hewitt songs off and we're good.
Yeah.
That's what the sequel should have been.
This killer only starts having his murderous rage when he starts hearing tracks from Jennifer Love Hewitt's album.
Other than that, it's rest in peace.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It's like, so you're saying I won't be tormented by this man anymore as long as I don't play my own CD around me.
Because that's the only person playing it.
They're like, "Well, yes, that's right." And
Bahamas,
she's like,
"Bahamas, come on, man. Just Bob Marley, the Congo, some scientists. You're all set. You don't need to be playing Jennifer Love fucking Hewitt's rock song." Shit.
God.
Shit indeed.
And that's it. That's it. That's shit. That's a shitty movie.
Whew.
Followed 8 years later by I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
I'll never have seen that.
Yeah.
No, we got to see it.
I'm going to try to poke around Netflix. I'll keep my eye out. If it becomes available on Watch Now, I might just settle down with a ice cold glass of water
and see if
I can figure it out.
Put some ice cubes in the water. Yeah, I figure you would have to.
Would anybody recommend I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh, my God. Absolutely not. Like, yeah. Do not go near this thing. It's
useless sequel.
Boring. It's like the deaths aren't particularly good. Other than, I guess, questionably, Mekhi Phifer's, because, I mean, I was really... That was something.
How do you pull a grown man up through a ceiling with one arm?
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense.
I thought Hulk Hogan was in on it.
Well, I mean, if Hulk Hogan was in, that thing would be split right in half. Johnny Mnemonic him right in half.
So Hulk Hogan is the hooker, and we've established Macho Man Randy Savage is Jason.
Yeah.
That could be a good, like, Freddy versus Jason type of situation.
And John Cena is fucking Freddy Krueger.
And John Cena as Freddy Krueger.
That would be gross.
Yeah.
That just makes it grosser. Picturing John Cena in any capacity just makes it grosser.
He doesn't even have any fake burns on him.
He's just him from The Marine, which I have to see.
Oh, man.
I need to see that
thing. It is something else.
Is that a stay tuned?
That thing is pretty fucking wildy.
Yeah. Wow. You got some Robert Patrick in that movie.
Yep. Ooh. All right, so I'm not going to recommend.
No, it's all the way around. No one's recommending.
Yeah, if you're curious in any way, I'd say check out the first one.
First one's
maybe
fine.
I would recommend that first movie.
It's totally fine.
It wants to cash in on the Scream success,
right?
Which you can't fault it for that. That's what slasher movies in the '80s did. That's just how things work.
And I'm not saying it's good, but it's a nice little time capsule.
Yeah, it works. And, I mean, that fucking typo negative cover of Summer Breeze. And my God.
That's I Still Know What You Did Last Summer from 1998, directed by Judge Dredd's Danny Cannon. If you want more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHMPodcast. Remember to get your emails in. You have until the 31st to request something for the Listener Request Month's Animation Damnation Edition.
Hey, if you like the show, also take a moment to rate and review on iTunes.
There you go.
It's very important. Stitcher as well. It really helps the profile of the show.
We'd greatly appreciate it. Check out Blame It on Outer Space. You got some new episodes over there at the Blame It on Outer Space Studios. What's going on?
It's up and kicking. I think soon we'll be talking about a little parlor game we like to call Ouija.
Oh.
And can cats see ghosts? That was an episode.
Can Cats See Ghosts is available now, but Ouija's coming out. You know, very good timing, by the way, in conjunction with this Ouija movie.
Michael Bay's Ouija movie.
Is he producing that
Get the
fuck out of here. Is there Ninja Turtles in that?
Oh, there's definitely Ninja Turtles.
William Fichtner is just in it for no reason. He's just hanging out. He's eating a sandwich in the background.
Clue for next week's episode. I'll do this one. Clue for next week's episode. Falling on a grenade. Yeah.
You've all done it.
Yeah. Now see someone else do it or hear us talk about someone else doing it.
In awe of somebody else doing it.
Most definitely. This has haunted me for several years. And by the way, like we've been saying, do not forget to join us on Halloween at the Jacob Burns Film Center. Pick up your passes to the overnight Halloween marathon October 31st starting at 10 p.m. BurnsFilmCenter.org for tickets. If you purchase your pass before the 24th of October, you get $10 off. We will be there riffing on something that is very familiar to you. One of these sequels in this franchise is not like the others. And afterwards, we'll be at Muldoon's for a nice Coors Banquet beer.
The banquet beer.
So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy. Ha 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 ha